Excited than that. We're going to talk this morning about being redeemed. Hallelujah. That's better. That's better. But I want to address just for a second the women's retreat. I almost went to the women's meeting yesterday, but I didn't. Here's what I want to say. I think, and I believe in my heart, it's been in my spirit, that this is going to be an awesome opportunity for the Spirit of God to move. And so I want you to be praying, not just for yourself to receive, but be praying for those who come upon your heart to receive. Because people are looking for words, people are looking for blessings, people are looking, you know, for just direction in their lives. I think that this is going to be something that's pivotal. And let me just encourage you, if you know somebody that you might think might want to go to the retreat, invite them to go. Whether they're saved, not saved, right? Thank you again for your enthusiasm. But if we're going to make this what we want to make it, we need to be bold in preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Amen? And along with that, now I just want to tell you, I don't like to give him any credit at all, but the enemy's tactic to stopping what the Spirit of God wants to do is to bring what he's bringing to our nation, a spirit of division. But we're not ignorant of his devices. So what does that mean? That means if I'm offended, pray for the one that offended me. If you know, I've offended somebody else, do whatever it takes to get it straightened out, right? But Paul said this straight, as far as it's up to me, I do such and such. You can't do anything about anybody else. But if we'll all lay our lives down, and this is for everything, but specifically it's on my heart for this retreat. Ladies, the enemy wants to steal what the Spirit of God wants to do. He's a liar. We're not ignorant. We're not going to let him, right? Right? Not going to. Amen. So if something upsets you, just know, hey, wait a minute. I know where this is coming from. I'm not going to let this happen. You know, there's a verse in the scripture, and Paul was kind of chiding the Corinthian church. He said, I hear you guys are going to the judges in the world to settle disputes. What's up with that? My paraphrase. Isn't there somebody in the church that's spiritual enough to figure this out between you? And then, wouldn't it be better for you to take a suffered wrong than let the move of God be stopped? This is kind of grow-up time for all of us in all things. We've got to remember there's more at stake than my pride, my feelings. Do you love me this morning? Right? I'm trying to head some things off so that we can just plow through that. See, here's what I see. Have you ever seen those trains in the middle of winter and the snow is just piled over and they got that snow plow on the front? I mean, they're just brazing through that. Right? That's what the church needs to be at this hour. I'm not talking just about the women's retreat. I'm talking about in our nation. Come on, quit it. Quit the politics. Quit. Begin to get on our faces before God and begin to quit getting offended by people. And I'm of this party or I'm of that party. Start praying for people. Right? Be kind to people. Don't let anger build up at all. Right? All right, that's enough. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We are redeemed. Look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. This was a couple years ago. I was going to do a quick study on Wednesday night of the book of Ephesians. And I thought, we'll just do this for a few weeks. It was 6 months later that I finished it. That's because there's so much in it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. First, let me say, if you're saved, you're a saint. I said if you're, and that means a separated one. That means one that's been called out. That means one that's, you know, if I can say it this way, one that's arrived. Come on. I've arrived. You've arrived. Did you know that? And we'll say why. It's not about you. You're not all that. Right? Right? I mean, in ourselves, come on. To the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Glory to God. Having predestined us to adoption by His sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. If you're saved, just say this right out loud. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Come on. Let me just give you a few definitions that I've got for redeemed. Redeem means to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. Anybody have some faults in here? Well, just, you know, we'll leave it there, right? But because I'm redeemed, He's made up for my faults. Come on. Right? Here's another. Gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. Anybody in here redeemed? Right? There was a payment for you. You were bought back. Glory to God. Look at this. To buy the freedom of. Come on. To buy the freedom of. To buy the freedom of. Think about the people in Egypt. They were slaves, and when they first started out with Joseph, they had favor of the Pharaoh, and everything was great. They were kind of, woo, these are God's people. We'll put them over here, and we'll take care of them. Everything will be great. But over the years, as things go on, things started going downhill, right? And they started becoming slaves, and more burden was put on them. But the Lord said, I am the Redeemer of Israel. And in the midst of an impossible situation, God sent Moses, who is a type of Jesus. Egypt is a type of sin that they were encapsulated or enslaved into sin. But Moses went and he redeemed them from Egypt, and they crossed over into the promised land when Joshua took them in, right? They were redeemed. Moses was used by God to redeem the people of Israel. I don't know about you, but I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. What does that mean? I was once lost in sin. Come on. I was once far away from God. I was once captivated by the enemy, with no way of escape for myself because of my fault. Let me just say this and make it clear. I'm not sure that we've done a great job presenting the gospel as a whole. And so I want to just paint a picture. God is holy. God is holy. Now, I'm just going to give a little parallel here, and it doesn't really do it justice, but I will just, because I know of it, I'll just tell you. I worked upon nuclear submarines when I worked in the shipyard. And they had regular water, and then they had water that was specifically for the cooling of the reactor. The difference was, is the water that was in the reactor had to be absolutely pure, without any contaminants. Right? Because it required something that was greater, so there had to be closer attention. You couldn't put just tap water into the coolant for the nuclear reactor. So they had to filter because that tap water could not go into where the nuclear reactor was. We are like tap water in the presence of God. Because there's impurity in us, we cannot go into the holiness of God on our own because of sin. Not just our sin, but the sin by our daddy, our daddy's daddy, our daddy's 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 daddy, all the way back to our original daddy, Adam. Right? But watch this. One speck of contaminant would make that water to the nuclear reactor not good enough. Do you hear what I'm saying? So for us, you say, you know, people go, well, you know, he's in heaven. How do you know he's in heaven? Well, he was a good man. Or she was, man, she was a saint. She was doing all this. She did this for people and she did that for people. And she was good. Do you know even Jesus, when somebody called him good, said, who are you calling good? There's no, just one is good. His name is God. In other words, your goodness is as filthy rags compared to God's goodness. So in other words, you're being good. What are you comparing it against? You might be able to compare that against me and say, well, I'm better than you are. We're not taking a vote. But watch, you might be able to say that. But if you were to say, you know, I'm good, I'm perfect, I deserve to get to heaven, God would show you His goodness and you'd melt into the carpet because His goodness is so pure. The whole Old Testament was written as a reason, especially the law was written as a reason to say, you cannot do this on your own. You can't be good enough. You can't try hard enough. You can't do religion enough to be good enough. It was pointing from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21 and 22. Look at it's all pointing to one person. Jesus, come on, Jesus. Jesus had to come and pay the price for my sin. But He did. Will I know my Redeemer lives? Come on. He lives. He lives. And He lives to take away my shame. I'm redeemed. But one of the faults of today's gospel, in my opinion, my mild, humble opinion, is that we don't point out enough the disparity between God's righteousness and our righteousness. So that those that come in and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. God loves me just the way I am. He does, but you have to be redeemed. Right? You can't get to heaven on your own. It has to be through Jesus. You have to have the purchase price paid for you so that you can be redeemed. Come on. But look at every person that's out there. No matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what political party they're from, no matter what country they're from, God wants them to be redeemed. He's already paid the ultimate price for that to happen. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Let's look at a couple of scriptures about redemption and we'll kind of tie this thing together. Go back to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Glory to God. His presence is so strong in this room right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The price for your sin to be paid for cost you nothing. But the cost of living out your redemption cost you everything. Right? Come on. Look at this. Chapter 14 of Genesis and verse 14. And I'll just run down the story. Basically what happened is Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the city was invaded and they took them all off. Abraham heard of it. And here's verse 14. Now when Abraham heard that his brother, talking about Lot, was taken captive, he armed 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Look at the story. Abraham said, there's a problem. Somebody that I'm related to that I love has been held captive. That's not okay with me. God said that of all of humanity. All humanity is held captive, but that's not okay with me. He didn't arm a bunch of men. He armed his son. Come on. He said, Jesus, go get him back. Go get him back. Now look at... He divided his forces against them, and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is in the north of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his good, as well as women and the people. He brought them back. He redeemed them from the situation that they were in, and he brought them back to his house. Come on. Lot was redeemed because somebody that was greater, that had a connection with God, said, look it, those people are in captivity. I'm going to return them to God's favor. Now watch this. Did you know that you were called to be an ambassador for God? And the message that you're supposed to give is one of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means somebody that was part, you've had friends or maybe acquaintances, maybe loved ones that you've been out of sorts with, and at some point there became a reconciliation. What a glorious thing that is. But we're called to be ambassadors for the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? There's a lot of folks that aren't redeemed, although the price has been paid for their redemption. We need to see them as redeemable. There's not one person you know, not one person that you've ever heard of that's not redeemable. The Bible says all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's some people that have given themselves over to reprobate minds, and they're in hell. There are people in hell. Did you know that? All the people who are not redeemed are in hell if they die. Hell is a real place. Did you know Jesus talked more about hell than heaven? He called it what it was. It's a place of hellfire and brimstone. It's a place where there is gnashing of teeth, wailing, weeping for eternity and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to go there. But here's the thing. I don't want you to go there either. I don't want anybody to go there. My job is to do the best that I can to make sure that people don't go there. I heard a pastor this last week. I'm talking about being redeemed, but I heard a pastor this week. He said, in the city that he was pastoring in, he says, our church vision is that we are responsible for every soul that's in our city. Think about that for a minute. We're responsible. He says, I know there's a lot of different churches and a lot of churches that are doing good and people are getting born again in their churches, but we don't look at ourselves that way. We look at ourselves as though it's up to us to be the beacon of redemption, to be the one that proclaims redemption to those that are lost. I just started to weep actually in my heart and just went, oh God, help us. We've been redeemed, but have we been redeemed and dancing in our redemption and not burdened by the fact that those who aren't? And this is just a thought. How many have we said, well, they're in captivity, but just let them go. They're getting what they deserve anyway. Yeah, we need to be like Abraham and hear, listen, they're in captivity. We're going to go get them. Anybody with me? We're going to go get them. Right? I'm thinking about the ladies' retreat. We're going to go get them. We're going to go get them. We've had women's retreat, men's retreat before where people were saved, were born again, were brought back into fellowship with God because they went and they were strung out, stoned, all the things that, you know, could be. But God used us to get them to be redeemed. Right? Come on, Lord. We're open to that. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Hallelujah. God is so good. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Come on. Exodus. And this is part of the hymn that they sang right after they crossed the Red Sea, and they were dancing, they were having a party. This is part of that hymn. Go to verse 11. It says, who's like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Let me just stop and ask you a question. Do you talk to God and view God like this? I think sometimes we're cavalier. Not that we should be standoffish when we talk to God, but when we're talking to Him, we should come boldly into His throne of grace, but with great humility, because He is glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. Talking about the Egyptian army. For in your mercy you have led forth the people whom you've redeemed. You've guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Come on, that's us. That's us. We've been redeemed. He's set us apart. He's taken us apart. Come on. But He's holy. When we come and worship Him, sometimes I think, what are we doing? What are we doing? And you're here this morning, so it's not you, it's those other people. But there have been times where I believe the Spirit of God begins to hover. And you just feel His presence coming in. But then somebody will come in who's 20 minutes late to church, and they'll want to say hello to everybody. And what they do is they break that anointing. And they're robbing people. They're pulling people out of the presence of God, because we don't really believe that when we worship Him, His presence is here. But it is. It is. Right? So God, forgive us for being cavalier. Forgive us for being insensitive. Forgive us. Right? There's a scripture that talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And I think in reference of what it's talking about, one place it's talking about how you treat one another. Right? How you're in relationship with one another. Man, don't do all of that. Love one another. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But there's another aspect where, Lord, we just come before you and we want to stay in your holiness. Holy Spirit, just linger over us. At the old church, there were Sunday nights, and there were only a few of us in the room most Sunday nights. But I remember this one Sunday night, we were just began to worship the Lord, and I'm going to give you two instances. I'm talking about living in the redeemed, living out your redemption, but in a spirit of holiness. We began to worship the Lord, and the Spirit of God just came upon the room. And silence hit the room. Holy silence hit the room. Where, and I'm not exaggerating, for 45 minutes, nobody said anything, nobody moved. And there were children in the service. Nobody went to the bathroom. You know that's spectacular, supernatural. But and we just sat there. Nobody said anything, didn't do anything. We were just in the holiness of God. See, we need to be redeemed and act as redeemed people. And when the Spirit of God comes in, call Him glorious, call Him holy, but stay in that holiness. There was another time, this was after service, most of the folks had left, but we were still praying for people up, and it was on this side of the church, and we just began to pray, and the presence of God was so strong. You remember in the church, they had the doors to the foyer there, and Marcy Sellers had come in, and she came in the door and she stopped. And she said, I couldn't go any further because I didn't want to break the anointing that was in that room. See, we're redeemed, but I think it's time for us to come back and start acting like the redeemed people of God and begin to see Him move in supernatural ways because He is glorious. He is powerful. He's everything that He said He would be. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Kings chapter 1. First chapter of 1 Kings. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. I just sense His presence so sweetly right here, right now. Hallelujah. It's like, all right, we're the redeemed of the Lord. That should set us apart. That should make us act differently. I don't know if you were able to see Wednesday night's service Janine preached, and it was so good and so powerful and so to the point. It's like, if we're really saved, if we're really Christians, if we really are the redeemed of the Lord, we should be set apart. We shouldn't look like the world. And I'm not saying that from a judgment standpoint, like we're better than you, but just we've been affected by the blood of Jesus. And so, like Paul said, I have liberty to do anything that I want to do, but I choose not to do it because I don't want to affect my witness for Christ. Or better yet, my influence over you with my witness for Christ. Glory to God. And I'm not talking about don't do this or do that or whatever, but it's just like, Lord, I just want to live for you. I want to live in your holiness, with your holiness. Look at verse 28. Then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me. So she came to the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, surely Solomon should be your son. Son shall be king after me. Anyway, he was saying, look at And again, there was at the time, and I probably should explain it. At the time, there was a dispute about who was going to take the throne of David after he died. He had other sons, but Solomon was the dude. Solomon was going to be the one, and he's saying, "All right, I'm setting it straight right here." But I love the words that he uses here in verse 29. Go back to verse 29, please. "And the king took an oath and said, 'As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life?'" In other words, my word is based on what the Redeemer has done in my life. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. But what difference is that making to me? What difference is that doing with me? And I love the scripture that says, now faith is. Because our faith is right now. And what do I mean? I mean, our belief in Jesus is for right now. I can testify what God did back in, 1977 and 1985 and 1995 and 2005. And I can testify and tell you stories of what He did. And He did it because I'm redeemed. But the point is how is His redemption affecting me here today? Is it doing anything? Is it having any effect? As I live, and as I proclaim the redemption, everything in my life is based on what He did. Come on. So if people hurt me, I'm able to let that go. If I've hurt others, I'm able to walk humbly before them. Oh, glory to God. This is weighty. This is weighty this morning. Right? I sense His Spirit so strong in what I'm saying. Glory to God. Hook in with me. Come on. Go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed. All of our decisions in life should be based out of our redemption. Not just what God has done for me, but what He's required for me to do. Because the requirement of His asking me to do something that's uncomfortable to me is a pittance compared to the price that He paid for me to be with Him. Psalm 31. Verse 1. I'll get there in a minute. "In You, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Your righteousness. Bow down Your ear to me and deliver me speedily, my rock of refuge, my fortress of defense to save me." This is written by the same one that said at the end of his life, "I make an oath by the one who redeemed me." Come on. Verse 3, "You are my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for Your name's sake, lead me and guide me." How many of us really put that in front of our prayers? Lord, I'm praying for this situation. I'm praying for this job. I'm praying for this house. I'm praying for this. I'm praying for this friend. I'm praying for the women. But Lord, for Your name's sake, because I'm part of the redeemed, I want Your will. Verse 4 says, "Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for You are my strength. Into Your hand I commit my spirit, for You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." What does that mean? Think about that. Into your hand. Into your hand I commit my spirit. And you know, Jesus said that on the cross, but we should say that every day. Into your hand I commit my spirit, or commit my life. I commit my very existence into your hand. Because you've redeemed me. You've redeemed me. You've redeemed me. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you own nothing. But you're heir to everything. Because it's all in Him, right? Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord of truth. Oof, glory to God. Go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to touch somebody this morning that is having hip problems. I just get that in my spirit. If you're having hip problems, God wants to touch you and heal you. Put that back in the socket. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. He led them," come on, "He led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city for a dwelling. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and He fills the hungry soul with goodness." Can anybody relate to this? Right? Has He done that for anybody in here? Come on. Is He doing that now for you? Will He do that for you tomorrow? All of those things that are right there. So go back to verse 2. "So let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed. So when the Lord speaks or the Lord does something, say so. But just as a caveat, when the devil says something, or the enemy comes against you, or the enemy tries to defeat you, or the enemy tries to lie to you, let the redeemed of the Lord say, "So?" Right? The devil says, "Well, I'm going to take you out." "So?" "Well, they don't like you." "So?" Right? What does that have to any value to the value that I place in my redemption? You may not like me, but He's accepted me. You may say I'm worthless, but He paid the ultimate price for me. So when the enemy lies, the redeemed should say, "So?" But when God speaks, we should say, "So be it unto me according to Your word." Are you with me? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many in here are redeemed? Come on, if you're not, you can get redeemed by the end of the service. Glory to God. And then you can walk out of here redeemed. You can start living redeemed. And that's the goal. That's the goal. That's the goal. Redeemed people who know they're redeemed talk differently than the unredeemed. They live differently than the unredeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Talk of your redemption. Remind yourself of your redemption. Live out of the strength of your redemption. Whew, glory to God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Woo, glory to God. Some of you who have been saved for a long time remember that song, that little verse. Hallelujah. It's not on Hillsong, I'll tell you that. Or any of the new ones. It's not any of those. Glory to God. Chapter 4, and go down to verse 6. It says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Put yourself in there. Paul's putting himself in there, and he's telling the church, God has commanded to light to shine out of darkness. You were darkness. You lived in darkness. Darkness was who you were of. You were of your father, the devil. You were of the kingdom of darkness. But God has commanded light to shine out of you. Who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right? We're blessed to be a blessing. But we can't be a blessing if we're living and acting and feeling unredeemed and speaking unredeemed. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God and not us. You have the excellency of the power of God living and dwelling on the inside of you because you're redeemed out of darkness and into light. You know, one of the most powerful weapons that are out there is a laser. Why? Because it's pure light. I won't go there. Verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side. Oh, you don't know what the devil's done to me. Nobody knows what trouble I see. Right? Right? That's where we stop. That's the same song as the unredeemed. I got troubles. Whoa, whoa. Come on. Right? Quick bouncing of the psalm, Marty. Look at. But that's not where he stops. Because why? He was in darkness, but now he's in light. He's redeemed. And the power of that light is on the inside of him. And listen to what he says. We are pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed. We don't understand what's going on, but we're not in despair. Right? I can't give you the answer to why this happened or why that happened or why they went home earlier. I can't give you that, but I'm not perplexed. Why? Because I'm redeemed and I live in the light as He's in the light. I have the wisdom of God living on the inside of me because I'm redeemed. And I'm going to say so. Paul is saying, this is the condition that I find myself in, but I'm going to speak out of the stance of my redemption and not out of the circumstance that I find myself in. I refuse to speak as an unredeemed person. Come on. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. And you might think, well, that's easy for Paul to say. Listen, you have nothing compared to the persecution, the struggles, the situations that man faced. And I'm not downplaying anything that you're going through. But quit stopping the song. Quit stopping. You can tell God, you can tell others that you're going through, but always put the but in there. Now watch this. Forgive, this might not be, sacred as it should be. But when the devil comes at you or you're living through a rough time, always put God's butt in the middle of it. I'm hard pressed, but I'm not feeling well, but I lost my job, but people left me and are pressing and are persecuting me, but see, I'm talking about the redeemed. I'm talking about living out of your redemption. You always have to put God's butt in the middle of your circumstances. Right? Come on. Right dab in the middle. Come on, God, right here. Right here. Right here. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What's he talking about? I'm redeemed because the purchase price for my redemption was paid when Jesus died on the cross. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never, never, never lose its power. Come on. Come on. Oh, I could just start singing, but I'm not going to. Got to finish. Woo! Verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. I'm living for Jesus. If it costs me everything, I'm living for Jesus. Right? If I have to sacrifice life He sacrificed, if I have to lay my life down for Him, Lord, let me do it. That sounds like a great platitude that's out there and you, oh yes, 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 yes. What does that look like? Lord, I want them to ask for forgiveness because they've hurt me deeply. And He says, ask them for forgiveness. Come on. So you say, okay, Lord, I see you did that. You did that for me when you were on the cross. You said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I'm talking about living out our redemption. In a practical way, in a holy way, in a way that our lives are constantly being poured out. But watch this, as our lives are being poured out, then Jesus may be manifested in our body. So you start acting like this, people are going to go, man, what's up with that? What's different about them? And some of the things that you go through that you think, well, God, that's a really horrible testimony. Let me tell you this story. I've told it before, but I have the mic and I can tell it again. But years ago, Renita and I went through something. Our whole family, we went through something. It was horrible. It was horrendous. And from my perspective at the time, I was going, God, what a horrible witness this is to my family who are not believing. Right? Because I'm going through all of this and I should be having victory, right? Everything in my life should be victorious and I shouldn't be going through this because I'm the redeemed. But yet, I'll never forget the day where it looked like everything was going to fall apart and I was driving along. It was coming out of Shelton, coming out of the hill on Highway 3. I was coming up there. I was in a red Datsun 210. And I could still see myself in it driving, clutching the wheel with everything that I had. I said, why, God? But then the words came out. Yet, though they slay me, I will praise thy name. So fast forward years, and the thought always in the back of my mind, man, that wasn't a very good testimony for you. My sister-in-law happened to be working with Renita one time, and the subject came up. They started talking about it, and she said, we all stood back amazed at how your faith brought you through that situation. Come on. We've got to live like redeemed people so that people can see Jesus even in our pain, even in our suffering, even when life doesn't make sense. We have to say, yeah, that's happening, but... All right, I'll quit in a minute. Verse 9, I'm persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always caring about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we are who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. That's the redeemed. That's you and me. That's what we signed up for. But that's glorious. Go down and look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Think about that. I'm redeemed. I'm living for a different purpose. I'm living for a different destiny. This earth and the life that I'm living on it is so short compared to eternity. And this is just a blip on the radar. Right? Verse 18. For we do not look at the things which are seen. Who doesn't? Redeemed people don't. Redeemed people don't. Everybody say it. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Well, we do not look at things which are seen, but of things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Come on. Life is precious. We're redeemed. The world wants to see people who are living out of their redemption, who act different, that talk different, that see different, that view things different, so that the power of God can be displayed through us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your redemption. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for being with us. And I personally, Lord, I just want to ask you to forgive me for my selfishness and looking at circumstances rather than you. I'm redeemed, Lord. I'm redeemed. And I'm calling out to you, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to use us today. Father, everybody that's watching on the internet, Lord, either now or later, I just ask for your presence, that same anointing that's here, to go into their rooms, to touch them. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, here's your opportunity. Because there really is a hell to shun. And on your own, you're not good enough to make heaven. Because God can't exist with sin that hasn't been paid for. Good news is Jesus paid for every one of your faults, every one of your sins. And what you have to do, and what we have to do in this room, is that we have to admit our faults, and then we have to repent. And say, Lord, I'm turning my life around. I'm going towards you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. So even right now, you can do it right now. It only takes a second, but it will affect eternity. Everybody in the room, just say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I recognize that I've sinned, and that I need a Savior. So I believe with my heart, and I'm saying with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. I receive Him right now. I thank you, Lord, that as you've raised Him from the dead, that signaled the fact that I could be with you. And I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us. Glory to God.